Welcome to the Table Talk Show with Teresa Farley, presented by Ranch Foods Direct and sponsored by the Olive Tech. Teresa hosts the finest chefs and brings you the best restaurants and places to dine. And now here is the most elegant host in radio, Teresa Farley.
Welcome to KRDO Table Talk on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. Presented by Ranch Foods Direct and sponsored by the Olive Tap. I'm Teresa Farney, the food editor at the Gazette. I'm so excited today because we're going to be learning about a new steakhouse that's over on the west side, some food tours, Italian food, and how to help out with those less fortunate. First of all, we're going to start off with Joanne Trujillo.
Yes.
And she is joined by her daughter, Maya Conkley.
Yeah.
Okay. They have just recently opened a steakhouse called Templeton Steakhouse Seafood and Fondue. It's at 2 South 25th Street. And I'm super excited. This was the 2 South Food and Wine Bar, or Wine Bar and Food, something like that, and which was very, very popular and unfortunately didn't stick around. And you guys came in and swept it up. And Joanne, you and your husband are pretty much responsible for that.
Yes. We decided to buy the building. And
that's a very important first step for restaurateurs,
yes,
I think.
Yep. Yeah, we bought that whole building, and then we did some remodeling. Not too much, because we like the way it looks. We like the historic feeling and look.
Well, actually, it's a house, wasn't it? When you say a building, but it was a home.
Right. It was Mr. Templeton's home.
I was just going to say, we need to hear the story of why Templeton's.
Mr. Templeton pioneered to Colorado about 1860s or somewhere around there. And then he built that house for his wife and built a couple of houses beside that for his daughter and other daughter. And he was very popular here in Colorado Springs in that time.
As a matter of fact, there's a road called Templeton's Gap.
Yep.
And that's the name. Somehow or another, he's associated with
That why used to that be the gap that used to go through Colorado, outside Colorado Springs, in towards the city. And they called it the Gap.
Right.
Templeton Gap.
Yeah. And of course, I'm sure if you've lived here any time at all, everyone remembers that barn that had been out there before it became the medical center and was there for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So now you guys have a footprint in old Colorado City to start with, because you also own Dat's Italian. And what is the address for Dat's Italian?
That is on Colorado Avenue. That's 2514 West Colorado Avenue.
And how long have you been there?
9 years plus.
Okay. And is that actually in the building where Mr. Templeton had a cotton mill of some sort? Or
a whole different person owned that building.
Okay.
It was a post office.
Oh.
Our specific slot was a post office at one point.
I didn't realize that.
So, and we've been there almost, 9 years plus, and we're doing well and great, and we do all our own home cooking, and I get some help, and we do really well over there.
So you do a combination in the Italian restaurant of Southern as well as Northern Italian. You kind of blend both.
Kind of blend both together, but they're all, as Maya knows, family recipes.
We lovingly call it Brooktalian, because that's where my mom hails from, is Brooklyn.
Okay.
And if you've ever been to the East Coast, you know how different Italian food from Brooklyn and New York is to what we have out here.
Well, it's a little more Americanized because of the immigrants that came from Ellis Island.
Right. And my family's from Italy, but I am not from Italy. I'm from Brooklyn. And so all the cooking that we do at Dat's Italian, all the recipes are from my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my mother, myself. And now Maya.
Okay.
So it's going like five generations.
So how does that translate to the steakhouse, fish, and fondue?
I think we really just wanted to do something different with that. We saw the building. We saw an opportunity to have a restaurant. At first, we weren't sure, were we going to move Dat's Italian? Should we do something new? And we came up with the concept of a split restaurant. Fondue downstairs. There's only two other places in town. And then a high-end steakhouse with seafood. And being a landlocked state, that's something that you struggle with, is fresh, high-quality seafood. And we based our restaurant also about being Colorado. Colorado beers, Colorado alcohol, Colorado steaks, lamb, everything. Because we're really proud of our state, and we like to support other small businesses as well.
That's great. Well, it's
two completely different concepts. So now, Joanne, you basically are hanging out, still running the kitchen and cooking mm-hmm. over at Dad's Italian.
Right.
And Maya, you go between both places.
Yeah, yes. I do the mostly like the front end business, that kind of marketing, all of that.
She's our chief operating officer, and she does that for both restaurants. I oversee all the cooking at Dad's Italian. And at Templeton's, as much as I love to cook, and I do get in the kitchen and get to cook a little bit there, we have an executive chef there, and he's fabulous. So that I don't want to do all the cooking there also.
Right, I know. You get a little
he's
break.
He's amazing. So we're doing something different there for me.
So earlier we were talking about some of the favorite dishes at Das Italian. What's seeming to resonate with customers at Templeton's?
Our bison ribeye is definitely a hit. I know that's a hard one because people associate it with a gamey, dry taste.
Right.
But how we prepare it, it's like butter. And then our salmon, our spicy salmon, that's a huge hit. I know that a couple of people have tried it, you know, from posts and all that. It's huge.
The lamb is huge, too.
I've heard a lot about the lamb.
The lamb is fabulous, and that's Colorado lamb. And I have to say, we just put on elk, and Terry, our head chef, our executive chef, is doing elk medallions.
Oh, nice.
And they are like butter also. They're beautiful. Delicious. Filet mignons are real popular, too.
You know, the thing that helps meat, and we're going to be talking with Terry here in a little bit and delve into this a little deeper, but it's the sauces.
Yes.
So what do you think is a secret for the elk?
For me, I think it's Terry's chipotle rub that he puts on it and then how he prepares it. You know, we don't over-season our meats. We think that high-quality meats can represent themselves. So I think that's a big thing for us is letting the high-quality foods we have showcase themselves with a little bit of help from some sauces, you know, some additions like that.
And knowing how to cook it properly. And that's why we have Terry.
And how about the fondue? Is that taking off for you?
Yeah, that's a really fun thing. I think something that sets us apart is just the quality of ingredients we use. You know, the same steaks you get at fondue is what you're going to get upstairs. Just because you're fondueing it, we're not going to give you a lesser cut of steak. So I think that resonates with a lot of people, that they're getting really high-end steaks and seafood for fondue, which isn't normally associated together.
And we're doing something different at the fondue. It's four-course fondue experience, but for the protein course, we have vegetarian course also, but for the protein course, my husband, he said, there's no way we're going to boil meat. And every fondue place you boil meat. And
that's
so we actually bring you out a skillet and on induction, you get to sear your own proteins.
And it's delicious. I've done it. As a matter of fact, if you want to have that total experience, somebody in your party wants to have the steak and somebody else wants to do the fondue, reserve yourself a table downstairs because that's where all the fondue tables are set up. And you can have a little of both. You can have some of the fondue as well as the steak. So it works out great.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming up on a short break, and we've been talking to Joanne Trujillo. She is a chef owner of Templeton's Steak, Seafood, and Fondue, 2 South 25th Street. She's joined by her daughter, Maya Conkey, and she is a chief operating officer. If you would like to make reservations at Templeton's, please call 635-0261 or go online to templetonsrestaurant.com. Stay tuned. We're coming up on more Appetizing Talk. Welcome back to the second course on KRDO Table Talk, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. And I'm very, very excited, as I am with all my guests every time, every week. But today I have Samantha Wood with me, and she's the owner of Rocky Mountain Food Tours. And Samantha, we go way back because probably 10 years ago.
Probably, yeah.
You and your mom launched you had a little different name for your food tour company. But before we get into what you're doing now with the food tours, tell us a little bit about how you guys got I think you were way ahead of your time.
I feel that way, too, in a sense. We've been around for about 8.5 years, and my mom actually came to me with the idea of launching a food tour. I, up until that time, hadn't heard of it. And I thought, you know, this is really an incredible idea. We see ourselves to this day as really storytellers, and we tell the story of Colorado Springs through its food. So we kind of happen to be tour guides, but really we're storytellers, and we like to bring people into downtown. We like to share the stories of the entrepreneurs and the small businesses that we work with, and get locals and visitors to try local food.
And you do an excellent job of it.
Thank you.
I don't think your mom's involved with you now.
Not anymore. Not for the past few years.
You've grown quite a bit. Now you've hired people, but she was more the historian initially.
She loves, she's really kind of the foodie between the two of us. And I've become a foodie over the years, but she's the one who would just do it for the sake of being able to eat with people and have that that social experience. So I think we kind of needed each other really for a while. She was kind of more the visionary entrepreneur. I'm more of the manager, the operations person. I'll figure out how to make it a business, whereas she just wanted to have fun and eat food and drink wine with people.
Well, it's what a great idea.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. Okay, so overall, you have, as I mentioned, I think you were ahead of your time, and you've gathered some, now that you are building this into a really vibrant, strong business, you've done quite a bit of research. Can you just give us a little background about what's happening with food tours?
Sure. So food tourism is the number one growing sector of the tourism industry as a whole. 93% of people are forming positive relationships on the food that they experience during their trip. Another fun statistic I learned is that 76% of tourists will book a restaurant reservation before booking their hotel. So food is top of mind when people are traveling. And I don't think this is necessarily a new concept. I think people have traveled for food forever. But we're starting to there's a nomenclature around it now. There are associations, there's even conferences around food tourism and how we as a community are catering to people who are coming into our city and wanting these behind-the-scenes experiences. They want these unique foods that they can't get anywhere else. They want private access, behind-the-scenes type things. And so are we kind of rising to the occasion as people are getting more savvy when it comes to food and not necessarily just wanting a traditional experience anymore? They're wanting a little bit more. And that's kind of where we come in working with multiple restaurants, and how are we showcasing them in this really kind of more unique way.
Well, you were kind of doing this, you and your mom, you had a day job, and you would do these on weekends or in the evening.
Right.
I don't know how you got it all done. Then you got married and you had a baby, and so that changed things.
That changed
quite
everything.
Your whole life. So then you're kind of laid off for a while, and now you're back. And you've got some big ideas coming forward in 2019.
So this is my number one priority professionally. I kind of usually have had some kind of full-time job, you know, on the side, quote unquote. And right now I've really decided to focus my energy on this because I really believe in the business concept. We have 25 million visitors coming into Colorado Springs, and 57% of them are booking some kind of day trip or tour while they're here. It's really incredible. And so I think that, you know, and with all the new restaurants, which you're very aware of what's going on in the culinary scene too, that we've really somewhat hit this tipping point in Colorado Springs where we're no longer this chain capital, right? we're really a thriving community where we have chefs and entrepreneurs and people who are looking to local foods and farmers. And we want to help celebrate that and tell the story. And it's exciting because we're getting a name even competing with Denver in a sense, because I get a lot of people that come down from Denver to say, what's going on in Colorado Springs? I've been hearing things about it. I want to check it out for myself. And I think that that's great. You know, we really do have a name of our own and are building that brand.
Well, I think it's a really great that we're getting those people from Denver down here instead of us always going up to Denver for a dining experience. But one of the things I really like about the tour that you do, and I've gone on tours really internationally, I like to do this because it gives you a little snapshot. If you book a tour early, if you're visiting someplace, you can get a feel for where some of the really kind of secret, hidden little spots, gems are, that you can go back and have a full-fledged meal.
Yes.
So I recommend when you're traveling to go online and find out what kind of little tours are available and get yourself signed up early. And
yes.
you've got a good deal coming up. And if you know procrastinators have not got their Christmas gifts
they're
yet,
still hooked for you.
You've got two or three days here to you know latch on to what you've got going on.
Yeah, so everyone loves a gift card, and we're doing a 15% off promotion. We only do it once a year. Perfect for the foodie in your life. I think we all have a lot of stuff and things, and we're trying to be a proponent of let's build memories, let's have experiences together. And so the promotion is called the Sweetest Gift promotion, and so the code that you can use on our website is Sweetest Gift, one word, and that should take off 15% off of your gift card order, which could be made in any amount and applied toward any public tour, and it doesn't expire, so no reason not to stock up while they're on sale.
What's the going rate for most of your tours?
So our Delicious Downtown food tour is $59 per person. That's kind of our general admission price. And then if you want to upgrade with three alcohol pairings, it's an additional $15.
And so how many places do you go on that tour?
We go to five places on that tour.
Can you give us an example of some that you've done before?
Sure, yeah. So we work with the famous steakhouse, Four by Brother Luck, Rooster's House of Ramen, Spice Island Grill, Jack Quinn's, Bingo Burger, Cacao Chemistry. There's about a dozen places that we work with, all different, variety, a lot of diversity there. And and a lot of really good people who are doing cool things in the food world.
So are they typically around 2 p.m. in the afternoon?
Yeah, so right now we have a public tour that runs every Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. In 2019, we're going to be expanding quite significantly, and so we're going to be offering not only more types of tours, but also the frequency of the tours we have will increase. So be on the lookout for that. We'll be making more announcements probably in February.
So all of these are walking. So you would find that you're going to have five places within walking distance.
Yes. All within probably less than a mile. So usually we start at the Antlers Hotel or the Mining Exchange, and then we walk from there, and along the way, we'll talk about history, we'll talk and about the Art on the Street initiative, and architecture and whatnot. So it's really from start to finish a full experience.
Do you still go to Urban Egg? It used to be the barbecue restaurant.
Yes, so we're not currently working with them, but we're happy to recommend them. We think they do great food, but yeah, they're currently not on our
You've got a rotating batch. And what about all that area down in Tejon? Are you going to tap into that?
Yes. So South Tejon, there's tons of things going on. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been down to South Tejon, for you listeners out there, I highly recommend it. And we are in conversations with several restaurants down there to possibly put together a brand new tour. So
let's think about those gift cards. Let's say you've got a couple of people that are coming from out of town that you maybe don't have time to go with them to a lot of places, but this would be a good way to introduce them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you've got a couple, and so you need to get two $60 gift cards, and you take 15% off of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a savings.
Yeah, it's a great deal. And like I said, we only do it one time of year, so great for someone who's new to Colorado Springs, if you've just transferred here or you're new to town and you want to figure out what the best local places are, as a gift for a married couple. If you're a realtor and you want a gift for someone that just bought a house, that's a unique option. So there's a lot of, I think, different people who might enjoy something like this and getting out of their comfort zone and maybe doing something fun and interesting. And so, yeah, so that promotion will end Christmas Eve, so December 24th. So I guess you've just got a couple more days to take advantage of that.
So speaking of that, how can people get these gift cards?
Right. So our website is RockyMountainFoodTours.com, and there's a link right at the top that says gift card. So you just click on that, fill out whatever amount you want. There's a place to put in that code. Again, sweetest gift, all one word. And then that'll lead you through the checkout process, and you will be delivered the e-card or the gift card electronically. So
okay.
Then you can...
Easy breezy.
Yeah, very easy.
Got it right now. So now you do the Delicious Downtown. Do you have one currently going on in Old Colorado City?
Not currently. I did a private tour in Old Colorado City just a couple
That's
of
a
months
good
ago.
Idea.
Yeah. So we do private groups and corporate events. We do those very often now. Actually, we're getting a lot of requests for those, and so we do have some good relationships in Old Colorado City, and we're able to pull together a fabulous tour with cocktails, and of course we know the history. We used to do a tour there regularly, and so we were able to share the history as well. But that might be, you know, coming down the pipeline in 2019 as well.
And back in the day, you had Manitou Springs.
Yes, we did Manitou Springs. Yep, yeah. So I feel like there's so many ideas, Teresa. It's like there's so many good ideas for food tours and places that we're really just trying to phase of what can we tackle first with our resources. But it's a good problem to have when you have so many, you know, amazing places out there to be able to work with. And
well, in all of your travels, and I know whenever you travel, you make a point of researching and going on tours. What's your favorite city that you've got?
Oh, goodness. I think in the United States, I have taken a fabulous tour in Seattle with Savor Seattle of Pike Place Market. Mm-hmm. Another great one I've taken in Chicago. And these companies, Teresa, are like, they do 12 to 15 tours a day, you know, so they're big time tour companies. And then internationally, Barcelona was fabulous. Paris, I did a chocolate tour. Dublin had a really good pub tour that my husband and I did. So.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, so as you can hear, Samantha is seasoned and well-trained and versed in what she's doing, and you cannot go wrong with a gift card to one of the Rocky Mountain tours. And you can get those at RockyMountainFoodTours.com. And Samantha, always good to see you.
Thank you.
And
thank you so much for having me.
Getting back in the groove here.
Yes, thank you so much.
But we have to take a break, but we're going to be back with more tasty news. Welcome back to the third course of KRDO Table Talk presented by Ranch Foods Direct. And we have a surprise guest today, sort of, Terry Shampoo. And he is the executive chef at the restaurant we were talking about earlier, Templeton Steak Seafood and Fondue at 2 South 25th Street. This is fabulous to have the owners, the chief operating officer, and the executive chef. That's very, very exciting. So, Terry, we were just visiting here for a little bit, and I understand that you were not on the culinary career path initially.
No, I have a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from the University of Maryland. One of the few people that I know that have engineering degrees in this industry.
Well, actually, there's Derek, and I can't remember his last name, but he had a similar thing. As a matter of fact, he kind of tried to balance two things. He had a catering operation. For a while, he owned the Black Tie. I think Black Tie Catering was the name of his business. And that was that little house down on Old Colorado Avenue that has been a couple of things besides Black Tie. It named primarily, now it's Sherpa's, which is a Asian Indian restaurant.
Okay.
They're doing quite well, like Nepalese. Anyway, let's talk about you. So you got, you didn't get burned out, but you kept getting job changes.
Yes. When I came out here, I was working for a little company that was off of Garden of the Gods Road, and they laid me off twice.
Uh-oh.
And I decided to take the hint, and I was able to get into Johnson & Wales.
What was your inspiration for culinary?
It's something I always wanted to do. I had a friend... when I was at Maryland, she said, okay, I'm going to win the lottery, and then we're both going to culinary school. Well, she's still an engineer, and I'm a chef now.
Okay. So you took her lead.
Yes.
And jumping into that. So what do you like about it? It's hard work.
It is hard work. what I like about it, I love creating. I love the smiles, you know, creating the smiles. And it's great to, you know, to make something that people just adore. I had one gentleman, it was at one of my places that I've worked at, And this gentleman was from Hawaii. And we had a Hawaiian-themed day. And I cooked Kahlua pork. And the gentleman came in and said, you took me home.
No kidding.
And, you know, that's the thing that a lot of chefs just live for.
So did you do a lot of traveling before and experiencing food? Like the Samantha was talking about the food tours. When you travel, did you dine out a lot? Or
not really. I did a lot of... my wife has done a lot of the traveling. She's it's part of her industry. She's a trainer. And she would tell me a lot of the things that she would have while she was traveling, and I would recreate them.
Just like that?
Yeah.
So prior to going into culinary school, did you collect cookbooks? Did you like to get food magazines? Did you watch blogs and Instagram?
Well, I don't think this room would hold all my books.
Oh, okay. That
and,
says a lot.
You know, after I graduated from Maryland, I went to, my wife got a job out in San Jose, and I took the summer off, and I would watch some of the culinary shows and then recreate their meals. And that was, you know, 8-9 years before I decided to do this for a living.
So when did you go to Johnson & Wales? What year?
I graduated in 2005.
Okay, so you've had almost a decade or so,
yeah.
A little more. And so then after you got out of Johnson & Wales, you know, so often people go to a culinary school and they have never been in a kitchen. So school and cooking for a living are two different things, I think. Would
yes,
you agree?
They are.
You have the textbook, and then you get in and you realize, oh, there's a lot of nights that I'm at the dish pit when I would prefer to be cooking, right?
Well, I've done my share of dishes. And I think the best way to state dishes is only dead chefs have seen the end of dishwashing.
Right. You know, somebody's always going to call in, and usually it's the lowest guy paid-wise. And so, yeah, it's easy to call out.
Well, you know, if you get the right people, there you get the dedicated people. And that's where, in the kitchen, there's always a reward system. If you don't want to do dishes, if you prove yourself in the dish pit, well, I'll move you up. Maybe you'll be making salads next.
Well, honestly, the number of chefs that I've interviewed, I'm going to say at least 50%. That's exactly how they've started. They've always started in the dish pit and moved up.
Right.
They show an interest in to hit the grill, where you're handling the proteins is primo.
Yeah, that's where that's where a lot of people aspire to get.
Well,
is
that's
to get into, you know, get into saute or get into the grill. And you know, the grill is a very important job. That's where
the big bucks are invested in
exactly.
Proteins. So,
and if you mess up, it hurts.
It
hurts the company.
Yeah. So, okay, you went to Johnson & Wales. Where did you go after that?
First job was at the Broadmoor.
Well, that is a good place. They've got like 16 restaurants you can work through, right?
Yep. I started off in banquets working in Garmage. I did... I taught myself how to do Thai melon carvings. And actually, when we first met, I don't know if you remember, I was I had done several carvings, and you were admiring the carvings I did for the tavern at the Escoffier dinner that year.
Okay. So. Yeah. You say the Thai carvings. Those are very intricate.
Exactly.
They look like they're melons that look like chrysanthemums.
Yes, exactly.
Gorgeous. They're beautiful. And let me tell you, that's really tricky to do.
Once you get the technique down, it's quick.
Okay.
It only takes me about 20 to 30 minutes to do an average melon.
Yeah. Okay, after the Broadmoor, what was next?
From there, I went on to Garden of the Gods Club. That lasted a half a year, and then finally
who
got
was
into...
Were you the executive chef there, or
no,
were you a sous chef?
I was one of the cooks there.
Who was the exec?
At the time, it was Nick Arnold.
Oh, okay. Nicholas?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I went on to the Inn of Palmer Divide. I worked there for about 11 months, moved on, then actually got back there, which, you know, that's one thing I do want to stress. Once you find people owners or whatever that you can work with that you really like, stay with them.
I know. Who's the owner?
The owner was Al Fritz.
Al Fritz, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice guy.
Yeah. I loved working for him.
You know, the story of how they got that all going is fascinating to me. There were Air Force cadets, friends, and as couples, they bought that land and built that beautiful building and had the Mosaic restaurant, which was very, very nice. Anyway, that's a great story, I think. I don't know how they ever got through. It was like 10 years they lived together as couples and as they worked on that restaurant.
It was a beautiful facility, very nice. They did it right. Unfortunately, they weren't able to sustain it, and it's a rehab center now.
Which is a great situation.
It's doing good things now.
It's a beautiful location out there for that sort of thing, so that's great.
Yeah.
So now you're at this new restaurant, Templeton's Steakhouse and Fish, and our seafood and fondue.
Yes.
Now, initially, whenever you first opened, you were the steak seafood chef, and then there was a fondue chef.
Correct.
So now I think Maya is doing a lot of the fondue prep. And
she helps out when I need her.
Yeah. So, but you really specialize on the upstairs. Is that tricky to be cooking down on the main floor and then having to get food at the right, served properly upstairs?
Well, you do have issues with trying to keep everything hot, maneuvering up those stairs. You've seen how tight those stairs are.
So they're
sometimes
tiny.
Sometimes I do have to help. I do help deliver plates to tables. Monday night I did that with one of the tables we had.
Well, I hear that you're having people that are coming and renting like the upper area for private party or the lower area for private party.
Oh yeah,
which is great.
Yeah.
Great use of the space.
Oh yeah, it's not a huge place, but it's cozy enough that for a party of 15 to 25, you could easily comfortably sit, that group.
So are there any wine dinners in the plans coming up?
That's something we haven't talked about yet. I know it's been kind of on a back burner.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're trying to get started. So it's been
like
2 months, 3 months you guys have been open.
Yeah.
So you're kind of still tuning things in.
We probably will do some type of wine pairing dinner and stuff like that. That would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
And we look forward to, creating stuff for that.
Well, we were talking about the importance of having really good sauces whenever you're doing. The steak should speak, or most meats should speak of their own and not have to be enhanced a lot. What are some of the favorite sauces that you offer, let's say with that bison?
With a bison?
Yeah.
All of our steaks get our Bordelaise, which is a red wine
classic demi.
That's classic.
Mm-hmm.
We do offer a few other port wine reduction, a port demi, a pork belly demi. So those are other options that you can get. But we like Joanne said earlier, we try to keep it simple, but we want it to be good. It's a lot easier to be good with a handful of things than average with everything.
So what is your favorite thing so far? I think then you have a mac and cheese that's been popular.
The truffle mac and cheese.
Yeah.
That is and that's one of those things that I'm not a big fan of truffle oil, but if you use it correctly, it comes out delicious.
So, I know it can be overwhelming.
You
can get a little too truffly.
I remember one restaurant up in the mountains. I ordered their truffled flatbread, and we were as far away from the kitchen as you could. And I smelt it coming out of the kitchen.
Yeah, so it's definitely overdone.
Yes.
Well, Terry, thank you so much for the pop-up visit here today. We really appreciate having you come in. It's interesting to hear your background. And congratulations on this new gig.
Thank you. It was good talking to you.
Yeah, I think you're doing a great, great job. So that was Terry Shampoo, and he is the executive chef at Templeton Steak and Seafood and Fondue, 2 South 25th Street. And call for reservations at 635-0261, templetonsrestaurant.com. And we're coming up on a short break, but there's still one more scrumptious segment. Welcome back to KRDO News Radio. For now, what I like to call the dessert is our last course, Joanna.
And oh, I like that.
And this is Joanna Wise. She is a marketing and communications director for Care and Share Food Banks of Southern Colorado. That is a big, big name and a big job.
It is. It's a big name, a big job, but I absolutely love what I do. It's extremely fulfilling.
And you've been there a couple of years.
I have. It'll be 2 years come March. I actually remember the very first day I started because it was the day of our Recipe for Hope luncheon, which is our biggest fundraiser of the year.
And that's an interesting concept that you guys do. Why don't you talk about that for just a second?
Absolutely. Well, Recipe for Hope really is just 1 hour that we set aside at the Broadmoor, and it's all about storytelling. We get about 1,000 or so people into a ballroom, and we're just able to tell them what they do, who we're serving, and how they're able to help us out. And the great part of it is that we have testimonial speakers who come in and they share their stories. And I always say that the people we serve are the most important people, and they're the ones who are able to share their story the best. So when you hear those, you truly understand the difference you're making when you contribute to the food bank.
Well, I suspect that there's quite a bit of stress on the food bank, considering that we do have a pretty large population of homeless in Colorado Springs. And at this time of year, I think you guys are really, and particularly coming up now in these winter months, are looking for some help.
Absolutely. And at Care and Share Food Bank, we're not only serving Colorado Springs or Pueblo County, but it's 31 different counties across southern Colorado. We certainly do focus on the population experiencing homelessness, but a majority of the people we serve are our neighbors every single day who are living paycheck to paycheck. It could be a family. It could be a couple. Most often, we come across a lot of single mothers who have full-time jobs, and they're just trying to make it. They're trying to get by, and they need a little extra help, and that's what we're here for.
So how, if we have some of those mothers listening or others who are in need of some nourishment, how do they get help from you guys?
The best way to do so is go to our website. When you go to our homepage, you'll see everything that you need right there. You'll see a button that says find food, as well as another one that says I'm hungry. So you can click on that button, and we have this really neat tool, and it's our find food tool. All they have to do is just type in their address. Once when they type it in, a map will pop up, and all of the partners we work with will show up on that map, and it'll show the ones that are closest to where they are, so that way they can get to that partner. When I talk about partners, some people might get confused when they think of Care and Share Food Bank. We don't have families and people coming directly to our building. We work with about 276 different partner organizations. Those are food pantries, soup kitchens, and meal sites. We get the food to them, and then they're able to get it out to kids, families, individuals, and seniors who need it.
It's really amazing, the network that you've got together. And I did go to one of those lunches, and it was even more interesting to see the various programs you have. I think
Absolutely. Maybe
the one that just continually sticks in my mind is fill up a backpack.
Yes, Send Hunger Packing.
Yes.
Yes. Last year at our luncheon, we were able to show a video featuring Send Hunger Packing, and we had a group of kids from Queen Palmer Elementary that I was able to meet, and I was able to speak to these kids and ask them, you know, what kind of food do you receive? What does this food mean to you? And it's so astonishing hearing their responses and hearing them talk about what it means to them. We had one kid in particular, and he responded when I asked him, what are those food bags mean to you? And he goes, oh, they're really heavy, but that heaviness is love. And I couldn't believe he said that. But when he said it, he said, you know, when I take it home to my family, we don't have a lot of food, and it means a lot to us. And when I continued talking to him, he had told me, you know, before I started getting this food, my tummy would hurt a lot because I was just eating a lot of candy all the time. And now I have this food. And he goes, and now I can go potty really well.
Wow. That's too much information, maybe.
Yeah. But when you think about it, a kid will say that. But as an adult, you would say, this food, this nutritious food that I get now, I'm healthier. I feel better. I'm able to thrive. And so he was saying that same exact thing, and he was able to put that connection together of how it made his life better and
well,
his family's life better.
A little bit more about Send Hunger Packing, because it's to help families over the weekend.
It is.
They might get help for feeding their children at school during the week, but explain what
it
goes
is.
On.
So every single week, we have an amazing group of volunteers who come in on Tuesday mornings. They get together. We line up a long tables right down our aisle in our distribution center, and we put a whole bunch of food on it, and then they kind of go down the line and they pack bags. Inside these bags, there are different grains, cereals, canned vegetables, canned fruits, and then protein as well, because we want to make sure that we're getting shelf-stable protein out to people who need it. So that includes peanut butter, canned tuna, canned chicken. Once when those bags are done, we have them set aside and ready to go with schools that we partner with for Send Hunger Packing. And then they have staff members who come in and they pick up those bags, usually on a Thursday, so that way they can get it out on a Friday. They discreetly will give it to students who they have identified as needing that food on Friday afternoon. And then that way they're able to take it home over the weekend to share. We now pack it so that it has enough to be able to feed a family of 3 to 4 over the weekend. Before, years ago, we were packing enough solely for that student. We thought we want to be able to feed the child, but then we learned that once when the child took it home, they weren't eating all of that food by themselves. They were splitting it up, because most likely if the child is hungry at home, then the rest of the family is hungry as well. So it is a really inspiring program that we do, and it's one that is really important to us because we know how important it is to make sure that kids have food to thrive, especially when they're in school. That sets them up for success, and they're the future of our community. They're the ones who are going to be able to help continue making our communities grow.
So at this point of the year, how can listeners help?
Oh, there are so many different ways you can get involved. One of the ways is by lending your time. If you have time to come in and volunteer at the food bank and you've never been there before, come on in. You've been there.
It's amazing.
It is. Come on in. Take a tour. Learn more about it. You can come in to volunteer. We accept volunteers as young as 6 years old. So if you have kids and you want to teach them about the importance of giving back, this is the perfect way to do it. And I can tell you, when we have kids come in, they're really good when it comes to sorting through and packing that food, and they find it so much fun. If you want to learn more about volunteering, you can go to our website, careandshare.org. There's a tab there that says get involved, and that's one of the ways that you can give back. Another way is by holding a food or fun drive. We call them care drives, but if you hold a food drive for us, you can either do it maybe if you're part of some type of service group, a community organization, a church, even if it's just with your neighborhood. We have a really great food donor, Mark Ingalls, and I believe KRDO has done a couple of stories on him, and he is known for just going all out with holiday lights. He decks his house out with hundreds of thousands of lights, but he also does it for a cause. He puts out Care and Share bins and has people come and donate food. Yeah, and he usually brings back more than 1,000 pounds of food. So it's a creative way to rally your community, your neighborhood, and ask them to give food back so that way that you can donate it to the food bank. The other day we had a little girl come in. She is in the third grade, I believe. And she came into the food bank and she wanted to donate $40. She had a check for $40.
Good for her.
And we said, thank you so much. Can I tell you why did you want to do this? And she said, my mom and I were driving down the road and I saw a big billboard and it had a big turkey on it. But then I saw next to it, it said $1 equals 8 meals. And I didn't understand what that meant. So I asked my mom and she explained that to me. And she was like, and I just really wanted to help people and I wanted to be able to provide meals. So at first, she ended up donating $5 that she got from her grandparents for Halloween, but then she told more people about it and they also donated. So she was able to bring in 40. So that just kind of goes to show that one person,
story.
No matter the age, can really make the difference.
Oh my gosh, that is very inspiring.
Absolutely. So that is one of the ways that you can be able to give back as well. And you can find that on our website. And then another, of course, monetary donations. I had mentioned the $1 equals 8 meals. Care and Share is associated with Feeding America. We are a member of the national organization, and because we are a member of that organization, we have great buying power. So what we're able to get versus what you can get at the grocery store will go much further. For every dollar, we are able to get about 10 pounds of food, and so that's why whenever we ask. If you do want to donate food or money, it's up to you. It just kind of depends what is more meaningful for you. But when we get monetary donations, then we're able to use that money and strategically decide what type of food we're bringing into the food bank as well, which is really important for us.
Well, I know that it is. As a matter of fact, one of the things I'm very impressed with, you have several gardens, a greenhouse, and you do have fresh produce year-round as a result of that, which is really wonderful whenever you can include that in some of your donated meals.
Absolutely. So, yeah, those gardens have been able to yield quite a bit.
How can people tap in?
People can come, learn more information, careandshare.org. And that is if you're looking for food or you need assistance, you can go to our website if you're looking to give back or if you're just looking to learn more about us.
Joanna, this has been very enlightening, and thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate it. And please do help out Care and Share. This is a time of year when they really can use your help.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for listening to KRDO Table Talk on 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM, presented by Ranch Foods Direct and sponsored by the Olive Tap. If you missed some part of the show, visit KRDO.com to find podcasts. Next week, we're going to hear about a new butcher shop, getting healthy for the new year, and more Italian food. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. I'm Teresa Farney, the food editor at the Gazette.
You've been listening to the Table Talk Show with Teresa Farney, presented by Ranch Foods Direct and sponsored by the Olive Tap. Join Teresa and her guests Saturday afternoons at 1. Listen live at KRDO.com and on demand at KRDO.com. Select the radio tab and click on podcasts.